بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. This week we're going to talk about منزلة الإشفاق. منزلة الإشفاق. After we spoke about the حزن and خوف, رحمه الله, there is a specific area after خوف. عرفت after خوف is more specific, and it's called what? إشفاق. It's called what? إشفاق. This specific area, المنزلة خاصة, it is fear which is مقرون برحمة or covered with رحمة. عرفت إيش هو الإشفاق؟ هو خوف برحمة, خوف من الله سبحانه وتعالى, خوف من الوعيد, خوف من خسران العمل, fear from Allah سبحانه وتعالى, fear from the hereafter, fear from losing one's deeds, but it is embedded in it rahmah. That's why ishfaq. You can translate it to concern. Better word is pity. صح? Correct me. I couldn't find the proper translation for it. The dictionary gave me concern, but it did not give me pity. But I thought pity would have a better. Is it pity? No. Sometimes we don't have the proper translation for it. It's just, even if the translation will be a word made up of from 12 letters, it still doesn't make sense anyway. As long as you understand, ishfaq is what? خوفٌ برحمة. Fear, but has mercy in it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the ishfaq, الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ وَهُمْ مِنَ السَّاعَةِ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those who يخشون, they have the level of خشية from their Lord, yet they don't see Him. And those who have إشفاق from the hour. So they have fear from the hour, but they have mercy also, meaning they know Allah is the merciful. Another ayah, يقول المولى عز وجل في سورة الطور, وقبل بعضهم على بعض يتساءلون. They come to each other, يعني they met each other, questioning each other. قالوا إنا كنا قبل في أهلنا مشفقين. We were before in this life at the state of what? Ishfaq. We were what? Mushfiqeen. We had fear from Allah inclusive of rahmah. So here what صاحب المنازل رحمه الله شيخ الإسلام الهروي said, الإشفاق دوام الحذر مقرونا بالترحم. He defined it, الهروي رحمه الله, دوام الحذر, continuous, ongoing, حذر. حذر mean cautiousness, cautious. So you're always cautious. يعني how can I have إشفاق in my heart? دوام الحذر. Always continuously you are cautious. Huh? He said مقرونا بالترحم, coupled with رحمة. Why is that? Because cautiousness by itself, it leads you to anxiety. And that's why you find people who don't have tawakkul on Allah. I'm talking about now a different category in the dunya. A person who's always cautious from everything, what happens? If someone sneezes in front of him, he covers his face. He catches a flu. It builds up to a psychological problem. يعني someone cautious to cross the road, normal people look once, twice, then again, where the road, يعني, where the car drive, then again, and he crosses. Some person, what does he do? 1, 2, 3, 4, keeps going 5 times, and that's now comes to build to what? To a psychological problem. Being cautious, you lock the door, you close the windows, صح? And you go to bed. Some people come down again. Make sure again. 2, 3 runs. That's what? Not over-cautiousness anymore. It's not over-cautiousness. It's obsession. It becomes psychological sickness. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. That's why, إخواني, here he said, cautiousness, بَسْ مَقْرُورٌ بِرَحْمَةِ. يعني you're cautious what you do, but you will always have rahmah, meaning not rahmah within you only. Rahmah meaning you invoke the mercy of Allah, that the mercy of Allah will come to cover you if you have done something wrong. He said here, وَهُوَ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ دَرَجَاتِ. It is on three levels. الأولى إشفاق على النفس أن تجمح إلى العناد. العناد. Also, command just another point. If you see your son doing something wrong, you punish him. At the same time, when you punish him, you have what? Ishfaq. Ishfaq. You are treating him with, you have cautious and you have cautiousness and mercy. You're punishing him, you don't want to hurt him. And you punish him for the reason of what? You have rahmah because you don't want him to ruin his life or her life. You understand? When you smack the kid on his backside, you do it with cautiousness and rahmah. True or not? You see, you don't do it to hurt or to bruise or to anything. That's called what? Called punishing with ishfaq. You're cautious not to hurt them and you have rahmah towards them because you want them to be better in their life. That's what we better understand the ishfaq. He said, rahimahullah, ishfaqun ala nafsi an tajmaha ila al-inad. You have ishfaq towards him, first thing, on your nafs. To do what? To start, al-ijmah is the horse that you can't control. You know the horse that bucks and jumps? That's in Arabic called farasun jamuh. What is it called? Farasun jamuh. A horse that is jamuh, that is, you can't control it very well. It can be controlled, but it is a very hard horse. It jumps all the time and bucks and, you know, no one can control يعني the horse. So that is called farasun jamuh. So you have ishfaq towards your nafs. So it does not lean towards jamaha. يعني it doesn't become, lean towards, عناد, arrogance. So he used this verb because it becomes what? When the nafs becomes arrogant, it becomes very hard to control. When your nafs becomes arrogant, then it is very hard to control. So here he gave you this verb, this, he picked this beautiful verb to give you this understanding that the nafs, you fear, you have this ishfaq on your nafs, it doesn't becomes jamuha with what? With arrogance. طيب, how is that? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, when it starts to go away from you and you lose control of it, when it starts to haste to what? To the whims and desires and the disobedience of Allah and become very hard for you or becomes arrogant when the time of ubudiyah comes. When the worship of Allah comes, it becomes very arrogant. Also, he said, another one, وَإِشْفَاقٌ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَصِيرَ إِلَى الضَّيَاعِ. So the first level is, إِشْفَاقٌ عَلَى النَّفْسِ أَنْ تَجْمَحَ إِلَى الْعِنَادِ. عَرَفْنَا? So you have إِشْفَاق. The second one, إِشْفَاقٌ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. When you have knowledge, you start having إِشْفَاق that this ilm will go to waste. And that is why he said here, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, أَيَّخَافُ عَلَى عَمَلِهِ أَن يَكُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ الَّتِي قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا. He said, he fears that his knowledge becomes one of those deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Because ilm is a blessed commodity, something that is what? Expensive. Ilm is more valuable than money or any wealth. When you have ilm, and that's why I always say, anyone who's been given the blessing of ilm and he thinks anyone got better blessing than him, is something wrong with him. The ability to think, the ability to analyze, the ability to read a text and understand, the depth when you read the Quran that comes to your mind, different than the layman who hears it. So it's very important. Ilm is, and I can share with you this, brothers, any type of ilm, not only ilm al-sharia. Of course, the ilm al-sharia is essential and primary, but any type of ilm that you gain in your life, is a blessing that it's a blessing that there's no money you can pay for it. Fahimt? So here he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and we came to their deeds that they have done. And we made it haba, like a waste in the wind, manthur, scattered. Yani has no benefit. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, this a'mal, which was for other than the sake of Allah, and on the contrary of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the proper here in this station that we're talking about, the person fears that his actions are wasted in the future because he left the ilm, or by committing sins which waste his ilm and his amal. And here, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ لَهُ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. What happened to these people? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Surah Al-Baqarah, that one of you would love to have a garden. It has what? Nakhil, palm trees, a'nab, different types of grapes. Rivers flow beneath it. And has in it what? Fruits. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what? Turned it to ashes and it is wasted. So this is when the amal is so beautiful, like a beautiful garden, your deeds that you're doing in this dunya, like a beautiful garden. The work that you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm that you have is so amazing, so beautiful, everyone praises it, but it can turn to what? To dust, to ashes. And that is what he's saying here, of course. This, if you don't have ishfaq, what is ishfaq? You fear that your deeds going to go to waste. So you'd what? Keep on going, and you try to contain and protect those deeds. Here in this ayah, Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who do you think this ayah was revealed? Or what is, فِيمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ Do you know what is the reason behind this verse? They said, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. Umar got upset. Look, if you don't know Kitab Allah, he said, don't say Allahu A'lam. Say, you know or we don't know. Allahu A'lam. Yani, shu Allahu A'lam. You know or you don't know. Araft? Yani, don't speak with ambiguity. Speak straight. Sit straight and speak straight. As the libs say, sit bent and talk straight. We don't care the way you sit. Mom, talk straight with me. Al-Muhim, don't say Allahu A'lam. Say, do you know or you don't? And that is some of the etiquettes of the word Allahu A'lam. If someone asks you about something, say, I do not know. Allah knows best the answer. Don't say Allahu A'lam by itself. Or you can give the answer if the answer there are a lot of differences of opinion about it. Someone asks you for something, you're knowledgeable and you're going to give this knowledge. If it is a contentious matter and there is so much differences of opinion about it, then you give the right opinion and you add Allahu A'lam. But if the salat is, somebody asks you, is the salat an obligation? You say, naam. Because Allahu A'lam, what does it mean? The matter is not clear. That's what people understand from it. So that's why if something is clear 100%, then you say what? They give the answer as it is. Arafat. Naam. Qala ibn Abbas, fi nafsi minha shay'un ya amir al-mu'minin. He said, there is nafs, in my nafs, there is something, some knowledge about this ayah. Qala ya ibn akhi qul, say, oh my nephew, say. Qala, wala tuhaqqiranna nafsak. He said, and do not belittle yourself. Look how Umar encouraged a young man. And he was very young, Ibn Abbas. The sahaba, the shuyukh, yani doesn't mean a shaykh. Shuyukh, yani the elders of the sahaba, used to get little bit upset that when they sit with Umar making consultation in Shura, he used to invite Ibn Abbas, the young boy. I said, you bring little kids sitting with us? What's this? Huh? But Umar knew, radiallahu anhu, how much knowledge Ibn Abbas had, so he used to consult him in matters and bring him into the shura. قال ابن عباس ضربت مثلا لعمل. This ayah was given as a parable for a deed. Umar said, what kind of deed? Ibn Abbas said, لعمل, a deed. يعني أي deed, indefinite. يعني it's not, it's a deed, it's a good deed. Umar said, gave an example. He said, لرجل غني يعمل بطاعته بطاعة الله. يعني a rich man works for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives a charity and so on and so on. فبعث إليه الشيطان. Allah sent to him the shaitan. فعمل بالمعاصي حتى أغرق جميع أعماله. So the shaitan came to him. He obeyed the shaitan until he drowned all of his good deeds. This is where the ayah is revealed to. So, al-ishfaq on the nafs, that does not become arrogant. Ishfaq on the ilm or the amal, so it doesn't go to waste. He said here, wa ishfaqun ala al-khaliqati lima'rifati ma'adhiriha. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a tarbiya. Allahu Akbar. Something amazing, ya ikhwa. He said, rahimahullah, ishfaq, it's a way you treat. Ishfaqun ala al-khaliqa. You have ishfaq towards the creation of Allah. All of it. Anything that is considered creation of Allah. But here he's specifically talking about what? Humans. To know their excuses. Yani, you always have what? Excuse for people. I know it's very hard. Probably I am the worst one finding excuses. Yani, to be honest. And we all unfortunately have that. We all have what? Assumptions. It's already programmed in us to assume things about people. And interpret. And sometimes our interpretation is so far-fetched. Huh? Yani the ta'wil is for evil, always, not for good. So always we have ta'wil for interpretation for evil. We never have interpretation for good. Araft? You understand? Here, what he's saying as a first level for the salik, and that martaba of ishfaq, one of the proportions, one of the limbs of the definition, or the first level, to have ishfaq towards the creation of Allah. How is that? You give them the excuses they deserve. You see someone doing something, give him the excuse. He doesn't know. He's under pressure. He's this. His wife gave him a hard time. Wallahi, he's waiting for an important message. I talk to the brother, he's always on the phone. You don't know, maybe he's dying, Habibi. Maybe his cousin is dying, he's waiting for a message. What do you know? Well, he's having a big fight with his wife. He's just replying to her messages. Whatever it is. Always have excuses. And that is one of the maratib. And you have this excuse with what? With ishfaq. Yani have remorse. You have remorse towards your brothers and sisters in Islam. Have the remorse towards the creation of Allah. All of them. By finding excuses for them. And that's why one of the modern scholars wrote a book called what? Du'at la qudat. We are da'is, not judges. We are what? Da'is, not judges. Meaning we don't judge people. The one who judges them is the one who knows all their excuses, and on the day of judgment, he will rebut all these excuses. We are what? We are da'i. Because we have remorse and ishfaq, we call people to what? And we give him the benefit of the doubt. Fahimna ikhwani? It's only the qudat. When you are presented in front of him, the judge, They are the one who analyze your circumstances and your situations and whether you have valid excuses or not. وَقَادِ الْقُضَاتِ The judge of all judges is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has nothing to do with us. مفهوم يا إخوة. And that is what he's saying. The second degree, the second station, يقول رحمه الله إشفاق على الوقت أن يشوبه تفرق. He said what? إشفاق على الوقت. To have إشفاق towards what? Time. That it get mixed with what? تفرق. تفرق meaning scattered, to go to waste. شوف. The waqt is a very important matter for the salik. Very important matter to the Muslim. Very important matter to the human beings. Ikhwani, wallahi, when I talk about waqt, I get emotional. The amount of time that we waste. We understand, Habibi. Until you're 25, you're crazy. You're wasting your time here and wasting your time there. But after you pass 25 or 22, Araft, then how can you waste your time? Every minute is valuable. And you should treat it with ishfaq. There is time to rest and time to sleep. And time to numb your brain, halal wise, yani. How you numb your brain? Yani, you sit down, eat ice cream, and sit with the family, or you know, you play a game, or you know, outside, you jump in the pool, you do something. Time, yani. And there is time for ibadah, and time for study, and time for the wife, and time for the kids. Ikhwani, there is no one, whether they are successful in deen, yani, abid. Or successful in ilm, yani in Islamic knowledge, yani alim. Even though I don't like this distinction between alim and abid, but because the alim has to be abid, and the abid has to have ilm. It can't be alim or abid without, you know, al-muhim. But anyway, or you're a successful businessman, successful academic, whatever you are, you find everyone has one thing in common. We wish we have more time in the day. Not to rest, to do more. Ikhwani, al-waqt is the most important element that you use it to enter Jannah. Here, he said, Ibn al-Qayyim, أَنْ يَحْذَرَ عَلَى وَقْتِهِ أَنْ يُخَالِطَهُ مَا يُفَرِّقُهُ عَنِ الْحُضُورِ مَعِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Here, he's talking about different time of having ishfaq on the waqt. He said you have ishfaq about the time you spend in the presence of Allah, in the ibadah with Allah, in the presence when your heart is humbled and attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have ishfaq about the time that you're not in that state. Fahimna? So this any time you're busy with work, you're busy reading, but you're not in this halat al-ishfaq, halat al-hudur ma'Allah, you must have what in your heart? Ishfaq. You have ishfaq. He said, وَالْعَارِضِ الْمُسْلِمِ قَالْ وَعَلَى الْقَلْبِ The shaykh continues, أن يزاحمه عارض. And also you have إشفاق upon your heart. أن يزاحمه عارض. المزاحمة to come and compete. يعني, you see, the traffic, it's called زحمة. When, distance? No. The traffic, it's called زحمة. You know, when you, all of you after Jum'ah here, everyone is coming out. You see how it gets jammed and bottlenecked, that's called zahma. So your heart has limited space. There is the hudur of Allah in your heart. Then what happens? Things come to do zahma, to push away this, to compete upon that space, to gain territory in your heart. Here he said, and the awarid ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, imma fatra wa imma shubha wa imma shahwa. He said there are three. Imma fatra. Fatra is when you cool down. You know how you come to the deen and you skyrocketing and you're full of energy and full of fire in your heart, and then comes what? Fatra. And that is, everyone gets that. Sheikh, alim, student, everyone get the fatra. You start seeing him away from the mosque, and they go away, and you don't see them, or you see them, they're still coming to the masjid, but they're dragging themselves. Any excuse not to attend the lesson, any excuse not to be, not al-muhim, arafat? That fatra is an element that causes muzahama in the heart. So you have to have ishfaq, for that fatra doesn't enter and take space in your heart. Wa imma shubha, a misconception. One of the elements of progress in seeking knowledge, that sometimes the talib al-ilm, a shubha comes. He does not, or she does not have enough knowledge in their heart to resist this shubha. So it becomes a matter that does muzahama. It moves their focus from what they're doing to something else, trying to do what? Find knowledge or to find answers for this shubha. So they are occupied now in what? Dealing with the shubha. They're not occupied in the status they were in before this arid comes. That is one way. The second way, he's not talib ilm. He's abid, zahid. But a shubha comes to his head. Comes from where he heard something. He went to a khutbah and he heard something. It caused the shubha. Any shubha. He listened to the television, on the radio, someone lecture, something. Caused the shubha. Bang. He does not know the answer of the shubha. Then that person get occupied with the shubha. What happens? It turns him away. And that's why he has to have ishfaq to keep his heart steadfast and sealed from any shubha that can penetrate inside the heart. He said the third one, wa imma shahwa, a desire. And believe it or not, ikhwani, that is the easiest one, unless that shahwa establishes itself inside the heart. Shahwa is desire. Araft? Because the shahwa, a desire, it can come at a certain time in the life of the person. Whether it's shahwa for money, shahwa for women, shahwa for men, shahwa for يعني, women to men, shahwa in many type of shahwat that can come, araft? Shahwa for a hobby. Now, all these shahwat are allowed in Islam. But Islam come to do what? To cap it, to put a limit to it. Once that limit is broken, then this shahwa becomes what? A problem. But this is from the previous to the fatra and the shubha. A lot of the time, that shahwa, when it breaks its limit and start to take a bigger place than it deserves in the heart, a lot of the time, the proper person, he hears a lecture, a lesson, he gets over it. It comes a year in life, then he got over it. Then what happens? He repairs and moves on. But the shahwa sometimes can, if he didn't deal with it in the early days and vaccinate his heart properly, it can root itself in the heart until that shahwa takes him away. And there will be no cure for it. There's no cure for it. It stays there with him until the day he dies. Fahimna? That is what? Shubha. the shahwa. As for the misconception, sometimes a small misconception can come in and becomes the cause of ridda wal iyadu billah. Someone will leave Islam. It becomes the cause of someone turn away from the deen. It becomes the cause of someone turn to extreme and he will never go back to the middle path. And what I say, extreme, two extremes. Extreme of moderizes everything in Islam. Or extreme of what? Of khawarij, where everything is haram and it's all kufr and everyone is a kafir except, you know, his shadow on the mirror. So fall into what? Into one of the two extremes. And sometimes once they go down that road, there is no coming back. You cannot rehabilitate them. That's it. They become diseased with the shubha. And we've seen it throughout history. We've seen it throughout history over and over and over again. That is why the ulama always would warn that ash-shubuhat are far greater and scarier than shahwa